The more you listen, the more you know. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Mike Slater starts right now.
That is a voice and sound of our times, a member of the so-called Beat Generation, dramatically expressing a negative attitude toward the 20th century.
On 760 KFMB.
America is the greatest country in the world. San Diego's America's finest city. Good morning. Appreciate you being here. Again, game today. All that really matters today is 4:15 the Aztecs play against UConn on KFMB TV, CBS 8. So productivity will come to a screeching halt all across San Diego. Coming up at 7:45 today, City Councilman Carl DeMaio. Yesterday, there was some really positive movement to the DROP program, the Deferred Retirement Option Plan, and sort of. So I say really positive movement, sort of. Councilman DeMaio will explain coming up at 7:45. But first, I want to go to my main man, Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center. Michael, how are you, my friend?
Good, Mr. Slater. Good to be here.
Appreciate you being here as well. We got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the Constitution and also get to the War Powers Act. And I want to get look deep into all these things here. Let's first start with the Constitution. Your thoughts from a constitutional standpoint on the engagement with Libya.
I tend to defer my constitutional opinions to people like, I don't know, James Madison.
Oh, you know, but listen, I've seen pictures of him. He wears a white wig, and he had slaves, maybe. So, Michael, gotcha, why do you waste our time with that? Fine, go ahead.
I don't know. This Founding Fathers nonsense doesn't really appeal to people like Pelosi and Reid too often.
No.
But, you know, the reality is we need to kind of look to what they had to say about the Constitution that they gave we the people to ratify. And Madison had this to say about war. The executive has no right, quote, in any case, to decide the question whether there is or not cause for declaring war. So that means, in common English, that the executive branch cannot, no matter what he says, unless he's repelling an imminent attack or a real attack, cannot start conflict with another nation.
Okay, period. But the president is the commander in chief. And I was watching Karl Rove on Bill O'Reilly, and Karl Rove said that the commander in chief has the ability to use their military as they would like.
Sure, and Nancy Pelosi tells us that the commander-in-chief can mandate that we buy health insurance. But they're both wrong.
Touche. Now, the War Powers Act. We've heard some. I've had people call in being like, well, the president's allowed to do this because of the War Powers Resolution Act of 1973. Explain that. Where's your take on that?
Well, the War Powers Act was this thing that said the president could, in essence, declare war and just let Congress know within 60 days. Well, he had to let Congress know within 48 hours, and then Congress would then have 60 days to continue the approval for it or reject it. Well, the reality is, when we look to something the federal government does, we're not supposed to look to Supreme Court decisions or resolutions passed by Congress or acts passed by Congress. We're supposed to look to the Constitution. And when a law is made that kind of switches the Constitution around, that law is really no law at all. For example, I'll go back to it. Healthcare mandates. They'll tell us that, well, the Supreme Court ruled that the Commerce Clause allows us. Well, the founders didn't say that, so it's wrong. And the War Powers Resolution is really what it was in 1973, is actually changing the process. It allows the president for a short period of time to have that power to decide whether there's cause for declaring war, where James Madison said, in any case, so it doesn't matter if there was an act passed by Congress or not, he still doesn't have that constitutional authority.
Okay, here's this is a question I struggled with yesterday, Michael. I want to see if you can help me out with this. So Article 1, Section 8 is the Enumerated Powers Clause, of course. So this outlines all the things that Congress can do. So coin money, your post office, declare war. Yeah, okay. So this, the list. Now, one of the justifications for the War Powers Resolution Act is the Necessary and Proper Clause, which reads in full, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. Now, we've talked a lot about that with the healthcare bill. That, of course, that doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want. Foregoing is it can do anything necessary and proper for carrying into execution everything we just listed prior. Okay, so that's very clearly what that means.
Well, we could talk about the necessary and proper clause in detail if you got an hour or two, but the reality is that this clause was based on the common law doctrine of principles and incidents. That means there's a principal power and then there's an incidental power.
What does that mean?
And the principal power are those powers that were delegated in the Constitution. Incidental powers are those powers that are required to exercise those delegated powers. So basically, they have to meet two requirements. One, they have to be directly related to the delegated power, and two, they have to be a lesser power. They basically can't take over the power that was there. So, for example, the power to regulate interstate commerce does not mean that the federal government can own all grocery stores. And the power to declare war does not mean that the Congress has the ability to give that power over to another branch.
Okay, but this is what I mean by the rest of that last sentence is to make all laws necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, comma, and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. So does that not say that the Congress has the right to pass a law that would, you know, I mean, like have something to do with what a previous officer also has power on? Does, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm having trouble with the with that last part and how that relates to the War Powers Act. Are they allowed to make laws that relate to any department or office thereof? That would be the president. So they're allowed to transfer some of their power to the president.
Well, it doesn't say that they can transfer power. They can make rules for how it's used. So Congress still has the power to declare war. That doesn't mean that they can give that away to somebody else. I mean, the executive branch is not authorized to give Congress the power to wage war. So Congress, in any situation, does not have the authority to start saying, okay, well, you're going to station troops here, and then you're going to attack this target. That can never fly, ever. So while they can still make rules about how things are going to be done, as long as those rules do not take over the power that was delegated, they still don't have the authority to transfer to another branch.
No, something that's interesting, we've only declared war in America 5 times. That's it.
Yeah, it's been since the 40s.
Right? So, what do we do moving forward? I feel like this has become so commonplace now that we don't even think to declare. Well, I mean, I remember when I first brought this up on Monday, I got all these emails like, declare war? What, Slater, we haven't declared. Who cares anymore? Like, how do we make the case that that is so, the declaration of war is what we need, and why do you think it's important?
Well, we believe that the Constitution is needed every issue, every time, no exceptions, no excuses. And the sad reality is that people on the right have turned a blind eye to constitutional limitations, which are pretty straightforward and clear and in plain English, for many, many years for issues that are important to them. Well, what do you think is going to happen when the lefties get in power? Well, if we've been turning our heads to things like this because it seems like an anachronism or whatever, well, when they get in power, they're going to require us to do all kinds of stuff. And oops, they've already been doing that.
Now, the world has changed a lot since 1776. Michael, you know this, so it moves fast. So what? There's just no time to get Congress together to declare war in this day and age.
There isn't.
I don't know. People have told me that. That's
Yeah. Because Libya was, on the shores of California here, and they were ready to dive into Oceanside. The reality is if there was an imminent danger, imminent threat, or an attack under constitutional law, the president is authorized to repel that, and that's pretty straightforward. But if it's going to be offensive or humanitarian or helping out another country, that needs to be a decision made by the people of the several states through their representatives. Otherwise, what we have is a dictator of sorts.
And I forget, we quoted, I think it was, it may have been Madison too, who said, Abraham Lincoln. You know the story of Abraham Lincoln during the Spanish-American War with Polk? I gotta say, I don't have the quote right in front of me. I gotta give it to you.
Awesome.
But it basically says the ability to declare war unilaterally is the most kingly, the most oppressive of all kingly oppressions.
Oh man,
isn't that great? I love that. The most oppressive of all kingly oppressions. That
you know,
went if a federal.
A lot of people also cite that there was Thomas Jefferson had some battles with the Barbary pirates.
Yes.
In that Libya area back in the early 1800s. And they'll say, well, Jefferson, got into some low-level conflict without a declaration of war, and that is correct. Well, Jefferson himself told people when in a State of the Union in 1801, he specifically said, hey, you know, I'm only defending American ships, and I'm repelling these pirates. I cannot, without the approval of Congress, take one step beyond the line of defense.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Also worth noting that there was, in fact, a second Barbary War. So maybe there should have been a declaration the first time. Maybe there wouldn't have been a second. Michael, I hate we got to take a break. Let's talk often. What's the website for the 10th Amendment Center?
10thAmendmentCenter.com. Pretty straightforward.
It's as easy as that. You guys are doing fantastic work. Michael, appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, brother. 1-800-760-KFM. Be a little insight into the Constitution of War Powers Act there. Michael Bolden does a fantastic job. Anna, there's a great article that he wrote. I'll send it over to you. We can put it on the website. It'd be great. 760KFMB.com. It goes into greater detail of all the things that he brought up there. And also, we'll put up that Abraham Lincoln quote that he used back when he was a Congressman Lincoln.